Well, I'll have to go and look up dapper in a dictionary and see exactly what that means. I'm sure somewhere along the line it means color coordinated, because that's what we are this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you might want to be going to the book of John chapter 4. I'm going to be putting on the screen the verses that we're going to be looking at from John chapter 4, but you might want to be scanning down the story. This phrase, "if you knew," can be used in a way that looks toward the future and in a way that looks toward the past. And sometimes we will say things like, "if I only knew what's going to happen tomorrow. If I only knew what was going to be the outcome of this. If I only knew what was going to occur, then I would know what to do now. I would know how to make plans. I would know what I need to do." So it becomes a very important phrase for all of us. But also in the past tense, it becomes a little more of a serious statement and a statement of regret and dread when we say, "if I had only known, if I only knew then what I know now, if I had only known about this before it occurred, if I had only known this before I did what I did." And we use those phrases like that, and we well understand those phrases and what they mean for us. Do you know that this is the key phrase in this story of the woman at the well? The woman at the well in Samaria is coming to draw water, and she's coming alone. She's by herself, and we assume because of her lifestyle and because others knew her and knew of her background and knew about her life, she's coming to the well without friends. She's coming to the well without the accompaniment of other women and without being a part of them. Maybe we assume she's learned that she's not wanted and she's not welcomed, and she simply avoids the whole issue. But when she gets there, there's a man sitting at the well. And this man who is sitting at the well is somebody she's never seen before and has no idea who it is, but we know. And what's amazing about this story is that this woman, with all that has gone wrong and all that she has chosen wrong in her life, is standing face to face with God Himself. Is standing face to face with God come in the flesh. Is standing face to face with the one who will be her judge. And the conversation does not go like we would expect. It does not take a condemning nature. It does not take the kind of direction we might anticipate with regard to even ourselves if we found ourselves confronted or face to face with God. The conversation goes completely different. Jesus simply asked her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" And she says to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water?" And we're given the explanation, because the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. It is then that Jesus says this: "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, if you only knew who I am, if you only knew God's gift, and that gift is Jesus Himself, if you only knew the gift of God, and if you only knew who it is that is talking to you, you would do something else." We'll get to that second part in just a minute. Who is this? The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God come in the flesh. Later on, she's going to make the statement, "Well, when the Messiah comes, He will answer all of our questions for us." We'll get to that in a second. But she knows who the Messiah is. She has anticipation of the Messiah coming. She has a longing for the Messiah to come. And she knows that she's waiting on him. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who it is that's talking to you, if you knew the gift of God. Now, I want you to think a minute. Can you think of any other passages in Scripture that parallel this passage in John 4? You may be surprised at the number of them. Would you parallel John 4 with Acts chapter 2? Would you parallel John chapter 4 with what's stated in Acts chapter 2 when those Jews on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 of them became Christians on that day? Would you parallel what's being said in John 4 with what's said in Acts chapter 2? Let's think about it. Let's ask a question. What a tremendous gift it is that this woman has. She's talking to God. She's talking to the Messiah. And the Messiah is talking to her. She doesn't know that yet. And Jesus is saying, if only you knew who it is that is talking to you. Does he speak to us like that? What a great and tremendous gift it would be to have conversation with Jesus. To have him speak to us. Does he speak to us? Well, the Bible will tell us in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son. It's not just this woman at the well. It's us. And Jesus has spoken to each and every one of us. If only we knew. If only we had known. If only we know now that he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus goes on. If you only knew who it was who was asking you for water, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. If you only knew who I was, if you only knew who's talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. This woman who'd been married 5 times. This woman who was now at this very moment living in adultery. This woman with all that she had done wrong in her life. She's standing face to face with God and God is talking to her like this. How do I talk to people? How do I have conversation with them? If you only knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Living water. That's where her attention went. Give me this water so I won't ever be thirsty again. Give me this water so that I don't have to come back here and drink anymore. And Jesus explains to her the living water. Whoever drinks the water that I give to them, he will say, they will never be thirsty. Indeed, the water that I give to them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the salvation that comes through him. He's talking about having God to dwell inside of us. He's talking about the Spirit of God to be inside of us, urging us, striving to live for God. So that us, listening to the one who is speaking to us, will grow into his image and into his likeness. And that word of his that is inside of us will dwell up and swell up until it becomes a living stream of water giving us eternal life. And all she has to do is ask. Now that raises a very important question. How do we ask? Do you notice something about the story? She doesn't ask yet. When she finds out that I, who am speaking to you, am He. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. Evidently, because of the lack of reported conversation at that point, the woman is shocked and now comes to believe and understand how this man can know everything about her life. And now realizes he is indeed and in fact the Messiah. And it must have been about this time when the disciples came back and the woman takes off to the city. Come see a man who's told me everything that I've ever done. Can this be the Messiah? And they come. And Jesus, his excitement is almost impossible to hide. The disciples have gone to buy food and they bring food back and they say to Jesus, eat, we've got food for you. And Jesus says, I've got food to eat you don't know anything about. I'm not hungry anymore, guys. I'm already full. I have food to eat that you have no idea what it is. And they said, did somebody bring him food? And Jesus said, look, you have a saying, in 3 months the harvest will come, but look around you. The fields are white unto harvest, and here they come. As the people from this town, Sychar in Samaria, begin to make their way to Jesus. Whoever drinks the water I give will have living water coming up inside of them. If you only knew, you would ask. How do we ask? How do we ask Jesus? Doesn't he tell us? In the book of Matthew, or the book of Mark, chapter 16, same thing is said as said in Matthew 28, just using different words. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What's the gospel? The good news about the Messiah. Who the Messiah is. What the Messiah has done. And what the Messiah has done means to you and means for you. That's the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let them know who the Messiah is. Let them know who it is that's talking to them. Let them know what it is that he's done for them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes that I am the Messiah, whoever accepts that I'm the Messiah, and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. How do I ask? Is this not Jesus telling his disciples? When you convince them of who the Messiah is, this is what you tell them to do. And is not this what Peter says about baptism? When Peter says that baptism is our request to God for a clear conscience. Our request to God for a clear conscience, to have our sins washed away. Is this not us asking? Whatever or whoever understands that I'm the Messiah and ask, we'll have living water coming up inside of them. Now go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, I want you to look at the parallel. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has fallen upon the apostles. They are speaking in languages they had never studied. And they are speaking in the languages of all those that are around them. And they raise questions about how these individuals could do this. And Peter simply says, this is the fulfillment of the statement made by Joel. And in verse 21, if you'll notice, and we're going to do these in a little different order, verse 21 being the first one, in verse 21, he makes it clear to them that this is the statement that Joel, or this is a, regarding the statement Joel made about God pouring out his spirit. But in verse 21, he says the conclusion of that from the book of Joel. On that day when this spirit is poured out, on that day, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever asks, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And so Peter begins to tell them what? Who the Messiah is. These passages about being raised from the dead. These passages about death not being able to hold him. These passages in the Old Testament about the one that was coming to die. They weren't talking about David. They were talking about the Messiah. They were talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes down to the conclusion of it in verse 36. When he says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that this Jesus of Nazareth whom you crucified has been made both Messiah, Lord, and Christ. Lord and Messiah. He's the Messiah. Now they knew. If only they had known. And now they knew. And they have a question. What do we do? How do we call on his name? How do we ask him? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the promise is not only to you, it's to all those who call on his name. And all of those who heard his word, and all of those who believed what he said, and believed that it was God's message, and believed it was what Jesus, the Messiah, was saying to them, were baptized. And there were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. Compare that with Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Compare that with the statement made to Paul in his second account of his conversion, when the man came to him and said, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. If you only knew, you would ask. If you only knew who it was who's talking to you, who it was who's saying these things, you would ask. And when you ask, he will give into your life living water that will well up into eternal life. Simply listening to Jesus. Simply doing as he's instructed and doing the things that he says. And knowing who it is that is talking to us and listening to him and listening to what he says. That's the whole life of Christianity. And isn't it amazing that we have it all outlined for us with this Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And the same thing true for her is true for each and every one of us. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you been baptized into him? Are you striving to follow him? Striving to live as he would have you to live? There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian, to ask him. There may be some here this morning who need to come home to Christ. If you desire to have a prayer with one of our elders, they'd be happy to meet with you and pray with you. But if you desire to respond to his invitation this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.